Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Oh my. We're here. It's Rivalry Week.
Rivalry Week.
It's easy enough for me to say. Or for us to experience. Because, remember, the sport makes no sense. So we have Rivalry Week over a big holiday weekend. And that means that it's spread out all over the place. It happens on, like, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. For some reason, because we just like to, you know, lounge around. It's a sport that just, you know, takes some room. That's fine. We're here for all of it, including, can I just tell you my favorite matchup this weekend by name, and only by name? That would be down between Alabama State, who for some reason is hosting Edward Waters. I don't know who Edward Waters is. I hope he's ready.
I know this.
I hope he enjoys his, he's thinking about enrolling. That's it.
I know this because I went on Bill's podcast yesterday, and we talked about this game, and I looked it up live during that podcast, and I will forward that knowledge here. Edward Waters is, if memory serves, the oldest HBCU in the state of Florida. It's in Jacksonville, I think, or near Jacksonville, and it has, according to Wikipedia, 800 students.
So not many more than Edward Waters himself.
It's everybody named Edward Waters in the state of Florida or any adjacent states. You get free tuition at your name university.
All paid for.
By Edward Waters.
By Edward Waters.
He's a great man. Depth chart, it's 11 Edward Waters.
Really keeps him in disarray.
Who am I covering?
It's like the thing where, like football players, they call each other by number. You know, like, yeah, you got 9. In this case, it's not even like, I mean, that's the only way to identify them. It's 9.
In retrospect, I do wish that the officials at Notre Dame Navy had loudly announced every time there was a flag on Notre Dame that it was on Newt Rockne.
Newt Rockne.
Holding Newt Rockne!
Newt Rockne sullying the classiness of the sport.
This is Newt Rockne's 12th personal foul of the day.
Newt Rockne has been ejected.
6 times.
30 years later, we're like, do you remember that game where the team playing Newt Rockne had 6 personal fouls? That's not even accurate. No, go with the story. It makes for a good script.
But that's not this week. I'm sorry. I screwed it up already. I'm already talking about last week. You want to talk about this week. Although you led off by talking about... not even an FBS game. So good job, you, I guess.
Hey, I let off because
Is this how you welcome Jason back? You son of a bitch.
That is actually how I welcome Jason back.
No, this is all according to plan.
It's apropos.
Jason's the only one who roots for a decent football team on this podcast.
Yeah, I did want to mention before we really get going, and since I wasn't the one to bring up FCS football. I will mention that I'm the only one whose alma mater is actually in a Division I postseason game this year. Spencer has multiple, but it doesn't look like Georgia Tech's going to be going. So,
what about Northwestern?
Yeah, Northwestern's getting
a bowl. That's true.
As a Medill grad, I'm pretty excited about that.
As a fellow Medill grad, I think the thing is, if you go to Northwestern, you have to be so objective that you can't care. You know,
right.
So like it doesn't count. It's like if you're truly a Medill grad, do you even recognize? Did you even know that Northwestern is going? Because you shouldn't have been paying attention to Northwestern football.
As a Medill grad, I'm excited about it, but only because of what it means for online media.
Yes. So many opportunities for rich digital storytelling at Northwestern's Holiday Bowl.
That's generous.
Or whatever. I mean, half the Big Ten's going to be in the New Year's Six, so Northwestern's getting a pretty good spot.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. So, yes, all hail the Owls. All of our love to Plank. Plank, easily the most duplicable of the turnover paraphernalia at this point. You could get a knockoff Miami chain if you wanted to, but that takes a little bit of work. You could get a knockoff of Oregon's knockoff chain, but you shouldn't do that. You can buy a garbage can and put Tennessee stickers on it. I wouldn't recommend it at this point.
No, you go to Home Depot and you're covered on Tennessee's, you're covered on Oregon's. You go to...
You get Kennesaw's, obviously.
Yeah, well, you can just find ours. They are actual... The plank was originally found in Florida on spring break 2 years ago. Probably on a beach. No one knows. So, yeah, you might just find one of ours.
Beach seems like it's doing a lot of work there. Beach seems like it's code for, yep, on the near the beach.
Florida. We'll say Florida.
In view of the beach.
Well, I just like living near the water.
I doubt it was to the Okefenokee. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Probably got to be the beach.
No. I just mean, like, there's a difference between I found it at the beach and I found it in the bathroom of a grungy bar next to the beach.
Found it next to the porta potty in Daytona. It was tipped over.
I remember the key to living in Florida is to say, man, you know, I like living by the water. But where do you live? I live near the water.
Well,
how near the water? You know, I live within a day's drive of the beach. And that's really the most important part of living in the state of Florida is living somewhat theoretically close to the water.
I'm squatting in an abandoned naval hospital right next to the beach, right across from the
spot farthest from water. There's a lake right in the middle with like a swamp all around it. So you're near water.
Yeah, we didn't say what kind of water, right? It's a stagnant, mosquito-ridden, you know, drainage pond. But it's mine. It's ours.
Florida state motto is you're always 8 feet away from drowning. Wherever you are.
Come to the Institute.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, that's a really, really good motto for Florida State, if I can segue and use that. Everyone in this game is 8 feet from drowning.
Yeah. It's gonna. Is a prediction meaningful here? Is there any sort of like cogent analysis that can be done? Thoughtful prediction, breakdown.
No.
Anything at this point?
No. What you should know, dear listener, is if Florida wins, Florida State had rescheduled a game against ULM for absolutely no reason whatsoever because they're not going bowling anyway.
And if Florida wins, they fucked up by not scheduling their canceled opponent.
Hey, they so might that just, they could they go might bowling. Just say, hey, ULM. you want to make a slightly longer trip?
Are those bus tickets non-refundable? No, I think where did they reschedule that game?
Paying you.
Is that game in Tallahassee or for some reason I thought they were talking about playing in Orlando.
Well, they might as well because USF and UCF will be done, and that's the state's biggest rivalry game this year.
Yeah, I think that's.
But it's in Gainesville. Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't
matter. No, it doesn't matter.
No, no one will watch. It's on at the same time as Ohio State, Michigan, Tech, Georgia, Louisville, Kentucky. Probably be a fight. Indiana, Purdue playing for a bucket. So no, please don't watch FSU, Florida.
Even Miami Pitt is more watchable.
Yeah, it's the day before, but if you'd rather watch a replay of it.
Why would you correct me on that? Why would that matter? I'm trying to spread as many things as possible as to alternatives for watching this Florida State.
You want to watch the Egg Bowl on loop for 36 hours that should get you through FSU Florida.
You will have food poisoning after that.
I think Perry Costadakis made the best hype video for Florida State, which was, if you watch it, it's a video that's nothing but the worst plays by both teams set to Father Stretch My Hands, right? So it's this majestic gospel song that's just backed up with Florida fumbles into end zone, Florida throws 40-yard interception with flair, Florida State gets run all over by NC State. It's majestic.
And deserved it.
I can't. I just. We don't have to.
No. Let's back up.
We're jumping.
Let's start
okay.
On Thanksgiving night.
Thank you.
Fight this game on the entire fucking schedule for the whole year. Ole Miss and Mississippi State, their schools on Monday or Tuesday this week. We'll say early this week. Their athletic directors released a joint statement saying, basically, Can y'all please not fight in the stands?
Which means there's definitely going to be fighting in the stands.
Which means there's already fighting in the stands.
You are looking live where the bloodshed is underway here at Davis Wade Stadium in Starkville, Mississippi.
Yeah, yeah. Mississippi State fans are already setting Home Alone-style traps in the Ole Miss section, I'm sure. You'd be like, huh, what are those paint cans doing? Probably nothing. Let's sit down.
They're all customized to lure in Ole Miss fans.
Deviled eggs? Why, I do declare.
A stack of red plastic cups just itching to be to have a ping pong ball
filled with tasty beverage.
I do. If I could just so
it drops on your head.
If I could just fill myself up for the winter, just for a repast, a quick snack, if you will.
I suppose a little Irish coffee wouldn't hurt.
There's like a maze of tents.
Yeah, Egg Bowl is going to happen. It is the game that I think has the most disproportionate spite and anger to larger consequence. Right? This is the couple arguing in the shopping portion of the Cracker Barrel, where you're just like, you didn't have to do this here. You could have done that at home. It's not, this isn't important what you're fighting about. Like, what is going on here?
So would fighting at the table while eating your 1,200 calorie meal be higher stakes?
I think that's Miami, Ohio, Michigan, Ohio State. That's Michigan, Ohio State. Oh,
yeah, that's
State,
the Bob Evans,
sure.
But yeah, yeah.
Yes, yeah. That's where every biscuit matters. And I remember when you took the last green bean 80 years ago, you son of a bitch.
I think in that one, they're both staring straight at each other's eyes, 1 foot apart, eating off of each other's plates. It's a race to see who can finish the other's meal first.
I don't even like this food.
I hate what you ordered.
I'm so glad you exist so that I can hate you.
I'm ordering a hamburger. That's how much I hate you.
I ordered 3 salads, you son of a bitch.
You ordered salad. You're so not worthy of the Big Ten.
Yes, it has cheese in it. Calm down. It's mostly cheese.
It's cheese and meat.
I'm putting light dressing on it. Fuck you.
The Michigan guy would be like, you know, salads encompass a wide variety of things. Categorically, it's very diverse.
Salads, anything you eat out of a bowl with a fork that doesn't have rice. So spaghetti is salad? Spaghetti is salad!
Spaghetti is salad, goddammit.
The Ohio State fan just sitting there putting their supplements on the table. Big thing of like, you know, beast branch chain amino acids just...
Oh, man, but this is the week that they got to call it Etrix.
You know, that guy from Game of Thrones, the Ountain? He trained the beast.
That would be Gay of Thrones.
Yeah, Gay of Thrones. Gay?
Which is a spinoff that you can watch. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Don't watch it with the kids. It's very different.
Jesus.
So the Egg Bowl, if we as a country survive the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving night,
if I can make a call for the Egg Bowl, there's no way that Ole Miss doesn't lose this at the last second for maximum pain, right?
Oh,
things have been going too well after like a recovery and sort of like a quiet, you know, not a bad year considering the complete implosion of the program. It feels very not Ole Miss. You're like, oh, man, it's ending on a happy note. Not for long. No.
Well, and rivals always like to say, we're their Super Bowl. You know, we're the biggest game to them. We barely care about them. For Ole Miss, this really is all they have. This was the only game they're playing all year that actually has the word bowl in it. Even though dearly departed Hugh Freeze said he planned to treat every game like a bowl. He never got around to putting those names on the schedule. And Matt Luke ain't got time for that. So you get one bowl, and this is it.
On the other hand, there is the possibility that Dan Mullen continues to bubble up in coaching conversations over the next 4 days. And Over the next 2 days. I don't know when it is.
It's tomorrow.
Yep. Great. And Ole Miss just stomps Mississippi State just to ruin his hopes. So that everybody's like, okay, well, we're very impressed by what Dan Mullen's done. I think we're ready to sign the contract. I'm sorry, he lost to Ole Miss by 28? Huh.
Yeah.
You're stuck in here with us, I do.
And then Friday.
Whew.
Where do you want to start on Friday?
Brother, we got the war on I-4. We got the biggest game in the state popping off.
You know what? Why do we have to talk so much about football in the state of Florida?
It's the state of Florida's most important game all year.
It is. That's actually completely true. That's the most important game.
That is until Miami loses to Pitt and has to play UCF in a group of in the New Year's Six Bowl.
I love that this is the war on I-4, like, because if you've ever been on I-4, it's one of the worst stretches of road in America, which simultaneously both devalues and burnishes the toughness of this rivalry, because it's devalues by, you get this derelict IHOP, you get this Perkins, you get this terrifying anti-abortion billboard, and you get this one. And then at the same time,
this is for all the Indian River fruit.
Right.
The winner now owns 18 McDonald's franchises.
From an anonymous highway spur in downtown Tampa to Orlando.
You are king of the Reebok outlet store.
Isn't there like a suggestion of a town in between called like Orlampa or something?
Oh, God. I've never heard of such a thing, and if it exists, I don't want to go there.
It's like a sign where they were like, let's put a town here, and then they never did or something
Let's manifest it.
Tamplando!
God.
But if there is, nobody wants it. And that's why this is actually like as close to any game will come to being Fury Road, because you'll say, oh, isn't that like a spectacular desert? Nope, nope. If you want post-apocalyptic hellscape, I-4 is already there.
It's just a race there and back, and it's not entirely clear why any of it happened.
Where did you go? Well, we went out to nowhere, and we came back to nowhere with a fountain.
And why was it? To murder. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That's very Florida, that part.
See? Fury Road and Florida, all about living by the water. Like I said.
Perfect.
You got postseason stakes, you got conference stakes. Winner's going to play Memphis for the junior important bowl.
What an awesome conference. It really is. Like, that's awesome. You're like, the winner of Tampa and Orlando will go on to play Memphis in the wrestling bowl.
It's like our own little USFL.
The American at this point is like an unlicensed NFL video game where you're like, wow, they have who am I playing with? That's weird.
Tecmo Bowl. The original Tecmo Bowl. When it was like the 49ers were like orange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The other game around here that you will want to pay attention to for very different reasons is Iowa-Nebraska. Where to begin with this? This is maybe the most miserable Thanksgiving rivalry. Like, if Ole Miss-Mississippi State is the angriest and Georgia Tech is the hatinest, this is the one that just feels like everybody is wallowing. Like, it is this weird referendum where losing is bad for the coach, who's inevitably on the hot seat, probably for Nebraska, maybe for Iowa, although it's been proven that there are no nerve endings in Kirk Ferentz's ass at this point, so the temperature of the seat is irrelevant. Yeah. Winning does nothing for you. And the game itself, like, what's the best Iowa-Nebraska game that you can remember? Can you?
Bill just wrote about one today, and he did a cool post, like, the recent history of college football as told by, like, a bunch of key games in these rivalries. The score in this game, I believe it was 10-7, and it's from, like, the 80s. So there's your highlight.
Okay. Perfect. That's all you need to know. I mean...
I feel like this game every year, you get some AD or conference suit saying, like, well, we'd like to turn some of these Big Ten West games into rivalries. We're thinking maybe Iowa-Nebraska, and fans on both sides are like, no, fuck that. No, no. We don't want to be rivals with them. And, like, so if you're all saying that, you got strong emotions about this, you know?
I mean, listen.
Just slide them over in your emotional scorecard and say you actually don't like each other.
They want to keep this game on Black Friday, and I think that makes sense because Black Friday is when companies try to sell you inventory that they don't want anymore, that they want to clear out before the end of the year. They want to move it as cheaply as possible, and there's usually a stampede that leaves somebody dead, and you sort of look and say, well, why? Why were you at that Walmart in the first place? Look at the choices you've made. That's the Iowa-Nebraska rivalry in total. It's a 42-year-old single man getting trampled to death at the mall because he really wanted a laptop that he could have bought online.
So
it'd be such a great weekend.
This game needs all good rivalries need a name. Do we go with like the Doorbuster Bowl or the battle for the 55-inch TV or what?
God.
For Nebraska, Iowa?
Yeah. Battle for the savings.
That's it. Yeah. It's the battle for the flat screen.
It's not even a valuable thing. It's like, oh, you got a salad shooter. Congratulations. You got a blender for $8. The clash for the $8 blender, the only thing left at Kohl's at 6:30 in the morning.
You want a Black Friday rivalry game with steaks.
Yeah.
Let me point you to the Commonwealth Cup. Who saw that coming, huh?
No, that was good. That was good. Although I do want to point this out before we leave this. If you want to know how this game's going to go.
Yeah.
Is this a money game for Iowa in any sense? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they all are.
Yeah, it's a money game. because if Iowa manages to hit 8 wins, right?
Yeah.
Kirk Ferentz gets another $500,000 on his contract.
I've ranted about this far too often on this program. I refuse to do it again.
We need,
you know, the global economy is going to collapse anyway, and then it'll prove that Iowa was smart all along when these dollars are worthless.
Mm-hmm. Could I just get you? Where does Iowa currently sit? Iowa currently sits at.
I'm going to guess 7-4.
Currently 6-5.
Oh, 6-5. Okay.
Currently 6-5. Meaning?
So they got to win this game and the bowl game to get to the 8?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's the magic happening here, okay? So yeah. Also, if Iowa defeats Nebraska, an extra $2.4 million will be added to his buyout.
What a weird, stupid season for Iowa. You look back and you're like, oh, they almost beat Penn State at home. They clobbered Ohio State. They beat Iowa State, which ended up being a pretty impressive victory. They played Michigan State close on the road, which that's not terrible either. And then you're like, oh, you also lost to Purdue and Northwestern. And I don't know what the hell you're doing. You weren't competitive at all against Wisconsin. Just a weird, stupid year for Iowa football.
Oh, you know, you say that, and you know what I say? Iowa by 30, baby. Everyone on the team's like, man, I don't know. The coaches are just like, I mean, Coach Kirk is just, he's just on us this week, man.
Most important game of your lives, boys.
Here's why I know that's, well, okay, fine. Go ahead. No, I'm just not talking about it anymore. I'm not.
Jason wants
to move on to Commonwealth Cup. We're going to move on to Commonwealth Cup.
Yeah, I was also going to say we didn't fill out the forms to make jokes about Iowa, so we should move along before we get calls. So you got Virginia Tech is ranked. No big surprise there. Virginia is already bowl eligible. Big surprise there. And I think a few years ago, this was a battle for bowl eligibility, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago.
I feel like there were a couple years in a row where Virginia needed it for bowl eligibility. And yeah, 2 years ago was when both teams needed it.
So like for the first time in years, we get to see two actually good teams playing this game. And it's in the night spot. Texas Tech, that'll be really stupid. But, I think with those two, you gotta You got a really nice Friday night spot right there.
Virginia has not won this game since 2003.
Yeah, and they're not winning it this year either.
Really? Yeah. Virginia Tech has been uneven, I think it's fair to say, over the course of the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
Virginia had Miami on the ropes. Virginia went and blew out Boise State.
Man, you want to talk about, like, we will compile a list of great blindside ass kickings that happened this season, and it will be long. And one of them is Kurt Benkert going off on Boise State out of nowhere. Kurt Benkert was the greatest quarterback alive for 3.5 hours against Boise State.
That was the case against Miami, too. He started fucking 20 of 21 or something.
I mean, when Kurt Benkert is motivated, get the fuck out of his way.
Kurt Benkert just blacked the fuck out and completed 25 straight passes like Will Ferrell in Old School.
He went blind on that verse, son. Just dropping fire.
What'd I say? Oh, it was flames. Okay, good.
Could you do it again on purpose? No, no.
No, wouldn't recommend it either. And then we're still waiting on Brett Bielema's news, I guess, for Missouri-Arkansas, also on Friday?
Yeah, because, you know, we know people are going to get fired. Right? Yeah. We already got one on deck. Right?
Yeah.
We got Texas A&M on deck because they've just decided that they're parting ways with Kevin Sumlin and they're telling everybody, which is real cool to do to a guy just over the holiday weekend.
Well, you say they're telling everybody. They're not telling Kevin Sumlin. It's the best part.
That's in case we didn't emphasize how bad this was. Yeah, not telling the staff. Not telling Kevin Sumlin at all. But telling reporters, it's going to happen, y'all. You make sure to tell Kevin if you see him.
Awesome. We just can't get a hold of him.
Yeah, can't. I don't know. It's crazy. Don't have his number.
Which means Texas A&M is going to beat LSU by, I don't know, 20?
Yeah. I mean, remember, this was the game 2 years ago where Les saved his job by beating A&M. And the game last year that was overtaken during on social media and the broadcast itself by coaching rumors. So A&M, LSU, if there are weird coaching circumstances going in, they will change by the end of it.
Yeah.
Which team is more likely to pull an upset at noon on Saturday and potentially knock its favored opponent out of the playoff? Technically, it wouldn't necessarily knock Georgia out, but two-loss Georgia at that point will be definitely on life support. Ohio State will definitely be – I don't know how on earth Ohio State would be out. But if you got to go Michigan beating Ohio State or Georgia Tech beating Georgia,
I don't think Ohio State can ever be out. So like,
really? They're 3-9. But the three were really impressive.
Yeah.
And, like, and to the playoff committee, that meant a lot.
Let me think back. Like 2014, they jumped three spots at the last minute. 2015, they were a one loss that was kind of within range. And if Michigan State had, you know, dropped a game or two, they would have been more talked about. And last year, they made it in as the first ever non-champ. And like this year, they might be the first ever team to get their ass whooped twice and make it in. So why not make it three? Lose by Michigan to 20 2 weeks later. You know, Ohio State's hanging around right there at number six.
Here's the question. Do they even need to win the Big Ten championship at that point?
No.
Can they just lose it close and get in over Wisconsin somehow?
Yeah, a 9-4 Ohio State.
I mean, what does a championship prove? That's just trying hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, champions are confident. They don't need to prove anything.
We at the committee think of the championship like the SAT, and no, Ohio State didn't get a 1600, but it was a 1580, which is very high for Ohio State, if you'll check the records. And so that impressed us quite a bit.
Ohio State got a 700, which would be an incredible ACT score.
I like Dan Rubenstein's suggestion most about what the playoff, Kirby Hokut is doing. Before the playoff committee comes out and explains what the hell they're thinking, which I don't think they need to do, but that he treats it like an improv game where he's like, okay, somebody give me a team, give me an emotional adjective or noun, and give me a meaningless business term. And he just sort of improvs it on the spot where he can be like, well, we thought Ohio State's stick-to-itiveness was more impressive from a consistency regression metric than Wisconsin, and that's why we've decided to elevate them in the polls. It's wonderful. They don't have to say anything. They're not obligated to explain. Kirby Hoka could just come out there and be like, yeah, we can do whatever we want. Thanks. And that's the whole press conference. But instead, meaningless jargon gobbledygook.
Yeah. If they really cared, they would write a brief explanation of each team and publish that. But they don't. And that's fine that they don't. It's just people are, you know, it's going to frustrate people every single week. And it's going to add to the, they just make it all up as they go along sense that people get. And do you think Kirby Hokut is like a stooge, a fall guy? Like, is that even the real Kirby Hokut? Do they just send an actor out there who's never watched football before? And like, we what did he say this past week? They got everybody going, oh, it was Miami jumped Clemson because they showed a lot of poise by letting Virginia score, you know, 28 points.
Yeah, I think they should get quality character actor Gary Cole to do it. Just hire him. They wouldn't object to anything.
He has gravitas. He has an authoritative speech. Yeah, this is a great idea.
Yeah, just have him. Just have him. You know, make things up, and people would go, you know, that argument doesn't make sense. But man, you know, you're one of those guys who, if you're in a movie, that's probably a pretty good movie, dude.
Maybe. It depends on the movie.
You know, Gary Cole's going to be fine. He's going to be like, man, you were crazy at Talladega Nights.
Yeah, if you were, you can't. You wouldn't want you to be the lead.
Oh, no.
Third on the bill? Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Just like anyone who explains the college football playoff. You're a bit player.
That's true.
Embrace that bitness.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I don't see either Georgia or Ohio State losing. And I know that I've done a really good job this year saying, oh, X team, Oklahoma definitely won't lose to Iowa State. Well, they did, but TCU definitely won't. Well, Ohio State, no. So I to the extent I am double jinxing this, Spencer and I both thought Georgia was definitely going to beat Auburn, and they didn't. It is hard to see, in part because these teams, Michigan is beat up. Georgia Tech is kind of like tired and wobbly and sort of like, yeah, we said we'd play 12. Fine.
Can I give one factor? Okay.
Yeah, please.
I still don't think Michigan's going to be able to score at all.
Right.
Just at all. Right. And I really don't think Georgia Tech is going to be able to even block Georgia on either side of the ball. I just don't think it's a contest. However, what is Georgia Tech's record right now?
They're 5-5.
That's correct. That's correct. Meaning it's for a bowl game, boys. And if I can see anything extremely funny happening between these two games, the funniest possible scenario is that Paul Johnson absolutely pulls out every stop and torches the larger ambitions and hopes of the Georgia football program so that Georgia Tech could go to like the lowest tier bowl possible.
Wrong. You're almost there. It's so he'll do that, and then in the post game, they'll be like, "Well, you know, Paul, Coach Johnson, bowl eligible, huge upset win, 2 in a row over Georgia. Now you're looking forward to the postseason." He says, "Nope, we're skipping it.
We're not doing it. Our invite."
Oh, the real tears of joy that I would cry if Paul Johnson did the most haters thing in the world. Like, aren't you guys excited about going to Shreveport? Yeah, we're not going to Shreveport.
We're walking away from the table while we're up. Won $83. Don't see a reason to keep going. Thank you. Have a good night.
Well, and then after that group of games.
After that, we got another bowl. Just point out, by the way, if they're going to fight hard in order to get, you know, 3 or 4 nights at a, you know, a modestly priced but still nice hotel somewhere in America and a couple of free bowling outings. Duke sitting there at 5 wins versus Wake Forest. Motivated. David Cutcliffe, highly motivated.
Indiana and Purdue, same thing, right?
Yeah, a bowl on the line for both.
Which I think for shit, arguably all four of these programs, you're like, damn, you made a bowl this year. That's pretty damn good. If they did.
So, and then in the middle slot, Iron Bowl coming at you.
Just, oh, yeah. Little Iron Bowl. I'll be
maybe
there.
One of the, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5 most important Iron Bowls ever. So.
They're all important. Hey, listen, you will stop disrespecting Alabama and Auburn. They are all the most important Iron Bowl ever.
Sorry for disrespecting the 2001 Tide.
They are all tied for number one most important Iron Bowl of all time.
Yeah, so like I said, most important Iron Bowl.
Yeah, he hasn't said a lie. I'm sorry.
You're going, Spencer?
Oh yeah. It's gonna be my first Iron Bowl.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. We'll get some business out of this. It's also in Auburn, which is great because it's a very easy drive unless you hit traffic wrong and you have to wait 7 hours to get out of Auburn because Auburn has it's like Clemson. There's like four roads. I know that everything in Auburn is like Clemson. There are like four roads that come out of the entire thing.
Auburn's like a town, and not even like a classic college town. It feels like you're in the burbs, in a nice spot of the burbs, and then, oh, there's a gigantic stadium right there.
The village. It's the village on the plains, and they really mean it. It's just a village.
It's a nice village. It's like a neighborhood with a 90,000 seat stadium in it.
Completion of the Auburn butts out plan, right?
Phase 2.
Yes, this is phase 2 of the butts out plan in order to get both cheeks of the ass firmly out and thus play your literal ass off in order to make the maximum chaos possible in the college football season. Auburn has beaten Georgia out of nowhere. We were all surprised, right? Two of us were surprised by that. One of us is lying.
One of us is the Sandman who can see all things and knows all outcomes.
Run it back.
I'm sorry. The Sandman was right.
Thank you.
The Sandman just took the truth in his hands and throttled it till it spit out a forecast. And pass that on to you. And if we hadn't been stupid.
Sounds like the Sandman jerks off and picks them out.
That's what the Spartan
winners all over the place.
the erotic massage of the Sandman's wisdom.
Don't come in here. The Sandman's pouring over the betting lines.
Talk about a bad beat.
He's going for the trifecta because of powerful Chinese medicine. Herbs that can't be controlled. I think this is the game where if they do this, Auburn will have officially completed the butts out plan and thus been the most chaotic team in all of college football. And will be like one dumb collapse against LSU away from being unquestionably in the playoff, right?
Well, yeah. At that point, all they got to do is beat Georgia and then they're in. They put their whole ass in the playoff.
I think that's right. Bama, to date, the best rushing defense they've played is Mississippi State. Mississippi State averaging 3.76 yards per carry allowed. Auburn is 20 spots above them at 3.14. Auburn will be statistically the best run D that Bama has seen all season. There is a weird thing where, by and large, most of the defenses that Alabama has played, at least against the run, they've been fine, but they're floating in like LSU's average is slightly worse than Louisville's and slightly better than Notre Dame's. They have not had, Mississippi State was the first time that they had to face a defense that could really push them in uncomfortable ways, and Auburn is going to be that plus two. Or three, or whatever it
well,
is.
Well, Alabama's defense is healthy, at least, right?
Actually.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh. Huh.
Apparently a little thin at the linebacker spot. That's, you know, fortunately, Auburn doesn't do anything to mess with linebackers.
No, they all focus on your safeties. Lots of deep shots.
This also feels like the thing that we're gonna overthink, though, where we're like, oh, well, you see that dragon over there? He's got mono, so we can probably kill him.
So now his fire makes you sick. Yeah, I like that. Bama's depleted, which, sure, that's a factor. You know who's stepping up? The former number one recruit in the country is starting at linebacker now.
Yeah, so Bama's still the statistically the best defense in the country. So, like, it hasn't really affected them. But I don't know. What is the point total that you think either of these teams has to hit to win this game? Because it feels like it's first to 25?
I had 24.
Okay.
I'll talk you down to 23.
Okay.
Sold.
18.
Big Ten fans perking up.
I feel like the thing that nobody has done at a crucial juncture in a game against Alabama, when they have even wobbled a little bit, no one's managed to limit Jalen Hurts and Calvin Ridley. They've just been easy money every single time they needed a long third down. Nobody's really sort of consistently come after Jalen Hurts, and Auburn has a D-line that can do that. They really do. They've got an incredible D-line, but they're going to have to get the pressure, because I don't think the secondary can hold up against that. So if you see something in this game that you go, where is there a bad matchup, right? I'm pretty sure Alabama can get Jarrett Stidham into some very uncomfortable positions. I don't know if Auburn can do that with Jalen Hurts.
Do you mean, now when you say it, do you mean Jalen Hurts as a passer, as a runner, as both?
I mean it as a guy who can keep a play alive long enough so that Calvin Ridley gets open. That's it. Like, if you look at Mississippi State, they almost exclusively used Ridley downfield in bailout situations and got what they were looking for, in large part because, yeah, Mississippi State pressured Hurts, but they still didn't stop him from getting crucial first downs and big plays. They didn't. Now, some of that admittedly is third and Grantham. Some of that is obvious blitzing that everyone in the stadium, including Alabama's offensive staff, saw coming, especially not changing that out of a timeout. It's the dumbest thing I've seen all year. But yeah, like that's something that I haven't seen yet. If Auburn does that, it'll be the first time, because Jalen Hurts really isn't allowed to be that spectacular, which is why people underrate him. He's much better than people think he is.
I like how Bama's offense for years, it was like, oh, they have three plays, run left, run right, and run up the middle. And now that they have, you know, like multiple exciting dual threat quarterbacks and have for a couple of years now, it's run, see if Ridley's open, or Hurts run. You still just have three plays.
The best part is that if you're not an SEC, if you have no SEC affiliation and you are rooting for Oklahoma, Ohio State, maybe Wisconsin, but you're probably winning, you're in, fine. Maybe Clemson, the same sort of situation. Pac-12 team that is hoping to, like, come out of nowhere, and that's not happening. I don't even know why we're talking about it. TCU. You have to root for Alabama. Because Jason sort of already touched on this in something he wrote, but there is a reasonable chance that if Alabama loses this game, but doesn't look bad doing it, and even then, the committee has sort of, like, I don't think has a consistent stance on if you get pants, that's worse than if you lose close. He still might get in. He still might sneak in there with that one loss and not going to the SEC championship game.
Yeah. I think the committee speak for getting blown out is did not look extremely competitive, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So as long as you look competitive in your loss to Auburn, you might have already clinched the playoff.
Yeah. Which, that's a weird position to be in. Most of the time you would think that you would want to be rooting for the upset, for number one to fall, especially given that, you know, the non-conference didn't end up being that meaningful. The teams they played out of the East, neither one of them, like both of them, are fighting for basically last place at this juncture. There are enough sort of other indicators that sort of say, like, wait, maybe Alabama shouldn't just automatically get this spot, but I don't think it's going to work that way. So, Roll Tide.
That is pretty interesting, though. If you're, you know, Ohio State, TCU, like, you, it would actually be better for you if Alabama wins.
Yeah.
Because then that definitely knocks a team out.
Right.
I will say, just like getting down to like another thing that maybe keeps Auburn in this game, Kerryon Johnson's been incredible. He's been good. He's been really good. Very big, very mean to tackle. If he's like, the thing is, they don't even have to be that productive with him. They just have to get stuff open down the field, which, when has Alabama ever sort of lost a big game because they couldn't defend the pass downfield? Just saying. Throwing that out there.
Yeah, you want too bad. Bama's going to win by 17.
Exactly, but I still want it. And if it happens, I look right. And if it doesn't, it's, you know what? It's no skin off my back. That's fine.
Auburn's going to win the football game.
Oh, man!
Is the Sandman calling that?
The Sandman. All right. So if Sandman, let's test your skills here. Wisconsin, Minnesota, huh? Who you got?
What's the spread?
Listen, PJ Fleck getting that extension.
Oh yeah, got a little money. It's a little spending money. He's about to spend it on some yards.
How many?
So the spread is Wisconsin by 17 at Minnesota. I'll take Minnesota plus 17. Wisconsin doesn't really have anything to, you know, just get the W, get out of town.
Yeah. Wisconsin, or Minnesota rather, has gone from scoring 54 points against Nebraska to getting shut out by Northwestern. Sure. Great. Wonderful.
Yeah. That's
a team that has lost to Maryland and Purdue and Iowa. Yep. Contract extension for beating Illinois and Nebraska. One school that's going to fire its coach and another one that unfortunately is like, whoa, we owe Lovie Smith a lot of money. I don't know. Ah, geez. But that's fine. I hope Illinois finds a way to be on its like eighth coach in 2 years. Somehow. It's a good program they've got going there. Hey, if they never work 40 hours a week, legally, they're not full-time employees and you don't have to give them benefits. I think that's how that works.
Hey, you just need to know this, okay? You can call PJ Fleck, you know. You call PJ Fleck, you know, a bad landscaping service because he's going to be giving up some yards. He's going to be losing yards. It's like 500 of them.
Did you stretch before that? Because what a reach. Fucking reach.
Speaking of reaches, PJ Fleck did get that contract extension. So I'm like totally.
There are no reaches now.
I always love this. Get your eyes off my man. It's my favorite thing when a school does that. We'll give him a contract extension because somebody's looking at him. He's too pretty.
Yeah, actually, nobody was looking at him. We're double married now.
So let's see. The news that preceded this was Kent State fired Paul Haynes. So did Minnesota see that and think, he's going to return to the MAC? I know nobody in Minnesota talks like that, but I just felt like that is the accent that fits that sentiment, I guess.
Yeah.
This is just how charming PJ Fleck is. All right. He probably convinced Minnesota that like this is what they wanted to do to be great. All right, it's all about commitment here. Mm-hmm. Shared values, contract extensions for possibly stupid amounts of time.
It's about this isn't think about in this program.
A contract is something you sign and I sign. We're both making a decision here. It's a partnership that you pay me for, that I get this money, but you pay it. It's a two-way street. And all the money flows one way, and all the love flows the other way.
And all the winds over Nebraska also flow my way.
The winds are parallel parked right now. All right, but they're safe. We're gonna get them out. Just gotta back them out a little bit. It's tough. They're in there tight. It's all about 3 points.
I have a graph I'd like to present.
Oh Jesus. Nothing like graphs on a podcast.
It's about 3.9 million, not 3 points.
Fine.
I would also like to point a couple of extremely spiteful ones that you should not watch, but you should point and laugh at later, right? I'm telling you to take 30 seconds out of your day and point and laugh at the following games. One, Let me tell you what. Jeff Collins, the man, the originator of the can of swag, one of the hypest coaches in college football, he's got Temple at 5. He's got to give him to 6. And he has to do him against the Tulsa Golden Hurricane. Oh, there's going to be blood on the immaculate stone steps of Tulsa's gorgeous football stadium. Because
a Tulsa team that's 2-9.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, our president had a tough year. Chad President, quarterback of the Tulsa. The only president I really recognize. Chad President.
Also the only president who had a tough year. All the others are doing great.
Tired of all this winning, Chad President.
Temple's going to get a bowl game. They're going to do it there in Green Country. In the heart of Green Country. Just down the road from Oral Roberts University. True salvation coming in the form of facing a bad Tulsa team. Temple, you're getting to a bowl game probably. So, advance congratulations for that for former Florida defensive coordinator Jeff Collins. I miss you so much.
Can we note that Baker Mayfield will face harsh justice?
I'm sorry, do you mean the masturbator?
Yeah. The master baker?
The man who's out with a pulled groin for for the, I don't know, first play, first drive, first quarter against West Virginia. Who knows? We'll see. Depends on how well their other 5-star quarterback is doing in that game. If Kyler Murray comes out and throws 28 points in the first quarter, just hey, Baker, you just want to run some, you know, light jogging on the sideline. Why not?
How many West Virginia fans are just going to grab their dicks? Like when he comes out, right? Like,
I mean, you haven't changed anything. That would have been true either way.
I think my favorite part about that is the game is in Norman, so they're just doing it at home, which is also on.
grabbing your dick is just how you make the sign of the cross in Morgantown, so it's fine.
Because you know they'll show the student section, right? And they'll be like the remorseful, penitent, newly matured Baker Mayfield, and there's going to be like 300 Oklahoma students that they catch for 1 second just going like honk.
Also, so like pull.
Is the band playing Crank That?
So West Virginia in this game with Will Grier is hurt, his finger got tore off while diving for a touchback, which was really stupid, but not a dumb decision, just a really stupid way for such a good player to be hurt. This game, West Virginia has like almost no chance. So if you're Hogo, why not just, you know, all right, boys, all we got to do is piss that guy off as soon as he comes in the game, grab his ass, lick his ear.
That's it. Just here, just get a big mouthful of water, spit it right in his mouth.
I think as a show of team unity, all the Oklahoma players should come out with sort of like a clear panel on the crotch. Just to say, we stand with our captain. We believe in him. Here are our crotches as well. We will not be body shamed, college football.
All hands on laps.
This is my weird sweaty penis, and I'm proud of it. God, 2 full guests in a row where I'm talking about dicks. I promised Jason this wouldn't happen. I'm sorry. I failed you. You know what? I'm sitting out the West Virginia game. That's what I'm doing.
All the Sooner the students first drive. Out.
Ugh. First drive, yeah. First drive.
All Oklahoma fans stand with their hands on their dicks for the first drive. That's the deal. Can you do that, y'all? Y'all, if you're in the stadium, can you do that until Baker returns?
Yeah, I was going to say Barry Switzer would be all for that. You'd be fine.
What do you mean until?
We did that back in 83. We kicked the shit out of Miami.
They look over at Barry. He's got his hand on his dick. Oh, I see you're standing in solidarity with Baker. With who?
Wait, you're clapping. Yeah, I got the third one grafted on. It's worth it.
In other games of infinite spite, there are a couple of minor.
Michigan State Rutgers. No, sorry.
I was going to sail right past that.
Wait. I do have a point here. So. When Ohio State is cruising toward a playoff or contention at very least, what's the team that always knocks the Buckeyes right out?
Michigan State.
They failed to do that this year so far. How about Michigan State? You're one of Ohio State's best wins. How about you go get blown out by Rutgers? And then the committee says, when we decided to drop Michigan State out of the top 25 and into a new top 25 of bad teams that deflated Ohio State's record, and now Ohio State is number 13. So, Spartans, you can still do this.
I'm liking it. I enjoy this. I wanted to point out that...
what sucks is that that still wouldn't help Michigan finish in the top three of the division.
See, it's perfect. You can have everything you want. You can,
God
you
damn
can
it.
Make fun of Harbaugh, and you can fuck Urban Meyer over.
Hey, that's listen. Let's aside real quickly here. I love these rumors about Jim Harbaugh getting a lifetime contract. I love it because what's the only other place in America where we have a lifetime contract?
The Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court of the United States. Very well done. Who loves judges more than anybody in college football? Jim Harbaugh, who will absolutely coach well into senility and dementia.
Oh my God, that was part of the pitch, wasn't it? They're like, listen, who do you love? Judge Judy. Who can we turn you into? Literally Judge Judy.
Coach Judge Judy. Do you think he won't start wearing judicial robes on the sidelines with khakis? Absolutely he will. If you give Jim Harbaugh this contract, and I'm not saying it's real because I don't actually want to look into it, but I promise you, he will stay until he dies. He will take lifetime so literally that he will not walk away. He will not leave for another job. He will not step down because the game has passed him by. He will be wheeled out there, strapped to a fucking gurney, coaching the game still.
I want to point out the saddest game on the schedule on Saturday. And I mean saddest because we could actually set records. Yeah, that'd be the battle for who is truly the SEC least.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, because we make fun of Arkansas. Oh, yeah, man. Arkansas, they've had a rough year. Brett Bielema's just not working out, man. Them Hogs, they got sent to the slaughterhouse early. Yeah, they got a conference win. You know who don't? You know who has? Someone has to get a conference win. Someone! When Tennessee plays Vanderbilt, neither team has a conference win. In the year 2017. And you know, if Tennessee does not get it, as cited several times this week, but let's say it again, Tennessee will finish without an SEC conference win for the first time ever.
Ever.
So let's do this. Let's do this, Doors and Vols, because man, Vols, you just do it big. Don't half-ass this, but like Auburn, put both cheeks on the line here, okay? If you're going to bring the butt, bring the whole thing.
And this game, oh God, this game is in Neyland.
Yeah, yeah. It's in Neyland Stadium. You know who's going to be there? Haters. just a sea of angry, hating ass people who are cold, probably didn't bring the right poncho. Yeah.
This is the first home game, I think Tennessee was home last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to this game, I want you to tweet Spencer and Spencer only and tell him why. Just why. Just sort of what your motivation here. If you want to reveal something dark and evil about yourself, that's fine. We won't call the cops. If you are doing it out of obligation to a loved one, if you lost a bet, all of these are, you know, I'm not going to judge you until I hear why. But I really need to know why anybody would go to this Vanderbilt-Tennessee game.
Yeah.
Where the only thing on the line is not... It's sort of the opposite of the Highlander. It's imagine that there is a separate sort of inverse Highlander situation where you have all these dudes who don't know even how to spell sword, and they have to fight, and they have to fight until one remains, and he is the saddest of them all.
Let me give you... the chippiest game. All right. We said that I said chippy. I didn't say a brawl. Ole Miss, Miss State is going to be a tussle. But the chippiest game of the weekend, and certainly of the Saturday, Clemson at South Carolina.
Not Georgia Tech, really.
Those people don't like to
they
fight.
They ruined our hedges, Spencer.
Yeah.
Fight,
well, that's...
That game, they fight before and after.
Yeah,
they do a lot of yapping before, and then they do some horticulture after. Yeah. Whereas Clemson, South Carolina, they just fight.
Yeah, like remember the
Spencer
big thing with
Georgia Tech intentionally clogged my gutters. I saw them do it.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a complaint to the HOA. That's Georgia Tech.
You know, HOA. That's it. I've had it. I'm kicking Rand Paul's ass. This is over.
Only took me 16 years of simmering to get up to boiling. Kind of like the Georgia Tech offense. But
wow.
I would go ahead and point to this because this is the game where, remember, first of all, where is it this year? Oh, look at that. It's at South Carolina.
It's in the cockpit, brother.
It's in the cockpit, brother. And you know what happens in the cockpit? More fighting and ejections than in any other stadium in the SEC. Oh, wouldn't that be LSU? Or wouldn't that be Arkansas? No, son. No, hell no. The stadium that consistently ejects the most people and has the most arrests and is the fightinest, rootinest, tootinest, rowlinest, just you know, chicken fight of the century every single weekend. That's South Carolina. And guess who's coming to town? Clemson. Guess who's still got playoff ambitions? Clemson. Guess who probably will still win this game? Clemson, because they're much more talented. But I will tell you this. South Carolina, they're going brawl. Now, South I don't think anybody's getting kicked in the head this game, because remember, that's the great legacy of this rivalry is, what do you remember about Clemson, South Carolina? I'm like, oh, I remember that time they both missed a bowl game because they had a brawl so bad the state troopers had to come out and break it out between men who were wearing helmets and playing football. But there's going to be it'll be chippy. Be some tussling and some fighting.
Yeah, hell yeah.
There is, there is a real chance that South Carolina could win 10 games this year. I mean, I don't think I'm not saying they're going to beat Clemson, but if they do and they win the bowl game, Will Muschamp will have done what only two other South Carolina coaches ever have achieved in his second year. And yes, this makes me feel very bad as a Florida fan. Thank you for asking.
I have wondered about that.
How bad I feel about the fact that Will Muschamp seems to be doing very well at South Carolina and building a program that has a consistent vision, a consistent staff, and seems to have, like, mostly good feelings all around, that looks competitive against teams that are better than it and doesn't usually lose games against teams that are clearly worse. How do I feel about that?
Yeah, all that stuff.
Mixed.
Yeah.
I'd say mixed.
There's some mixed emotions there. I will also go ahead and just forecast forward that no matter who Florida hires, be it Chip Kelly or say Scott Frost, right? Some new look, extremely aggressive offensive coach. I want to go ahead and call in advance that that brilliant coach will stub their toe every other year
against South Carolina.
On South Carolina's Cro-Magnon ass. That's how it's good. Like, it's going to be like, pew, offense of the future. And it's going to run into rock.
Yeah. Basically, that's a chess game where Will Muschamp's first move is to vomit on the board. Now what? Try to castle over those chunks, brother.
Well, what we were going to do is we're going to run an inside zone. But
shit. Damn it.
Just puking Will Muschamp, ruining the... For my first course, what I have here is an aerosolized... Oh, God. I took the foie gras and I...
That's your heirloom tomato!
Oh, here comes the Hardee's!
That's it. Like,
so that's, I mean, that's the blueprint here, too. Throw up all over Clemson and see if that just makes them throw up, too.
Are we comparing Will Muschamp to some sort of sea cucumber that, that just ejects its guts, right? Like, yes! I got no other defense.
Yes, it's why he would. It's why he's the real best match for TCU. Ideally,
You know what though? Like I love it. Like we were so bad to Will, and he was so bad to us, and it was such a bad deal. And then, but he tried real hard, and now he's at a place where you know he could try hard and win somewhere between I don't know. 5 and 8 games on average, and
be you show me in the MMA rule book where puking's illegal. You can't.
Actually, it is. Remember that clip? Puked in the ring, and the other guy like won by default, and he instantly shot his arms up in triumph, even though the other guy was just fat and poorly conditioned. That's gonna be the matchup.
But we're not calling this fight.
Chip, that'll be it. Chip Kelly will come to Florida. He'll score 48 points on everybody. He'll actually beat Alabama for once in the championship game, and there'll be one loss in the record. You'll look back. You know what the score is going to be? The score is going to be 19-12.
God, he ate so much grilled cheese that day. What's wrong with you, Will? God,
it's like he threw up spackle. It'll be 19-12, and those won't be field goals for Florida, right? Be like, Chip tried to go for two on a field goal? Can you even do that? It was confusing. So much stress. So gross. I just wanted to get out of there.
It's so hot. It's just baking on the field.
Get some sawdust. There was sawdust in the vomit. It's already there.
The field is so slippery, we can't run our routes.
We love you, South Carolina. Go do something. Go do something stupid and spectacular. That's what we expect.
In our own weird way, we do. And then I don't know.
Is it Apple Cup time?
Oh, dude, it is Apple Cup time.
Yeah, let's get the Apple Cup going. So let me make sure I have my order of selection right here. If Wazoo wins, they are the Pac-12 North champion. Correct.
Correct.
And if Washington wins, Stanford is the Pac-12 North champion. I'm correct there as well.
Stanford Pac-12 North while losing to Notre Dame.
So we could have a Pac-12 North representative that lost by 34 points to Cal and by 21 points to Arizona. Or we could have this Stanford team that, if you'll recall, lost to San Diego State, not a bad team, and got pantsed by USC and might lose to Notre Dame as well. We could have a 8-4 Pac-12 North champion. This is a very bad year for the Pac-12 to start playing the, why doesn't anybody respect us? Why aren't our games on? I think we deserve more attention. Like, y'all, the minute they played that card, and it's not their fault, it all turned to shit. The minute Washington was like, we're tired of being disrespected, it was like, well, I got bad news. You're gonna prove us very right here very shortly. The Pac-12 championship game is potentially going to be two unranked teams. So if Stanford,
since that whole thing, if they lose to Washington State, they'll be 3-4 since then.
Jesus.
Oh yeah, wait, which, three and three. Sorry.
Which I don't know. Like, you know, you watch Jake Bentley like running for his life at the quarterback spot. You think getting Hercules after him is gonna change that basic dynamic of kind of how Washington has gone? Because Washington's still like
Jake,
a year.
Jake Browning.
I'm sorry. I'm still stuck on South Carolina. You guys are my brain.
It's
why are we talking about anything else? I still want to talk about puke.
It's working. Will Muschamp's got you, man.
Will Muschamp won the Pac-12 North. I don't even know where that is, but I'm happy to be the winner of it.
Chip Kelly goes to Hawaii for vacation. They're like, look, a beautiful waterfall. And all I can see is Will Muschamp's head at the top of it going.
My favorite possible outcome is Washington State wins the Pac-12 North. Fuck it. Wins the Pac-12 outright. And then Mike Leach takes the Tennessee job. Like, just be like, well, we accomplished everything we did here. I'm over to tackle this garbage pit here. Over here. Gonna see what we can do.
Or like Frank Wilson takes a big job and Leach leaves the Pac-12 champ for UTSA.
That's brutal.
I like the city of San Antonio. They got a lot of history there. People always talk about the Alamo, but how about these 19 other things, huh?
Oh my God. So this means we're definitely going to get a Mike Leach, Greg Popovich podcast.
Wow. That would shut down all of sports media. That's like any reporter would do.
There's a lot the government won't tell you about mind control, but we will here.
Just kid Leach casually dropping, you know, democracy might have run its course. Popovich just going silent for 5 minutes. Yeah, I don't. By the way, I think Washington State could actually completely win this game. They really could.
Sure.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's.
Are they better than Arizona State? In that case, they could.
It's true. This is in.
On the other hand, is Washington better than Cal?
See, you never know what you're going to get in the Apple Cup.
There are a lot of layers here.
Yeah, it's Cup. Everyone can lose.
This is, by the way, perfect Apple Cup weather. If I was like, what's the crappiest possible combination for things? You know, what, like about 40 and rainy? Correct. It's going to be about 40 and rainy when this whole thing goes down. So. Perfect. Perfect. If we can just get like a driving 20-mile-an-hour wind between two teams that, you know, aren't afraid to pass the ball, even better.
If a boat can blow on the field somehow, like a small catamaran or
that
something,
and, games
and they're just like, oh, play through. Sorry.
Yeah, that boat wouldn't have to fly far to make it onto the field.